thank the church here for the opportunity to preach. And I want you to know that we thank you for the support that you've given us and for the help. We do covet your prayers. I've talked to most individually about this, and I'll talk more about it later. Really don't have time to right now. If you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy chapter 4, part 2. Me and Brother Adams did not talk. We didn't know anything what the other was going to be preaching. But I believe this is the message from God. So if you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I say this too. Where Brother Boyd preached yesterday. I can give thanks to what preached that 15 years ago.
Yeah.
His preachers don't have a backbone. Young people, don't mess up your life.
Amen.
Follow the word of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bourne. God bless you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, or exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Lord willing, today we're going to be preaching a message simply entitled, What We Need. What We Need. As I preach this today, I want you to understand I'm not looking out there with my fingers or my whole hand pointing you saying what you need. But beloved, it's what we need as God's people. It's what we need as God's men. It's what we need as the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches today. I'll tell you some things we don't need. We don't need programs in the sense of mission programs, in the sense of mission boards, cooperative programs. We don't need programs of entertainment. We don't need gimmicks or gadgets or anything like that. Beloved, what we need is this book. We as God's men, we have to get up whenever we get ready to preach, and we shouldn't get in a place where all the time looking through our eyes saying, well, you know, I haven't preached this in a while. I'm going to preach this. We need to get up with a fresh message from God, simply proclaiming, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we need. If you have your Bibles again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, starting in verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now, first of all, understand that the Apostle Paul was talking to a young preacher. This young preacher was by the name of Timothy. He was his son in the faith. And what I believe he means by that is he was saved under the ministry of Paul. And Paul took him under his wing and he taught him the word of God. And here he was talking to young Timothy as a pastor, as a man of God, telling him what they need. And folks, I want you to notice chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, I charge. The word charge there means I command thee. And notice this. Notice who he's given the charge before. He's not given the charge because it's his opinion. He's not given a charge because it's what the other apostle said. But notice, said, I charge thee before God.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we get up to preach the word of God, we as God's men and we as pastors, we're not preaching because someone else gave us the message, but we're preaching because God has commanded us. Then we notice, who shall
judge the quick, that's the living, and the dead. We notice that the appointment, if you will, or position of God and who He is and who we are in relation to Him. He's our judge. He judges the quick. He judges those living. And He also judges those that are dead. He's the supreme authority, the supreme ruler over the lost and saved alike at His appearing in His kingdom. But well, let's notice verse 2. Verse 2, He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I want us to notice, first of all, we need the preaching of the Word of God. Verse 2 simply says, preach the Word. What is it that pastors are to do? Are we to get up and tell jokes? Are we to get up and entertain the masses? Absolutely not. But we're to get up when God gives us the opportunity. We're to speak up when God gives us the message from God. And then we're to shut up when He's done. Amen. That's what God's men are to do. Amen. That's what we should do every time we have the opportunity to preach the Word. Then we also notice, be instant in season and out of season. This simply means preach when it's popular and preach when it's not. You know, Brother Adams, I know that wasn't very popular a while ago. To be honest with you, that skinned me pretty good. But folks, it's fact. It's the Word of God. And we as God's men need to, whether it's, no matter the consequences, should get up and preach God's Word. It says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. But also notice this. When we preach the word, we're to preach for reasons. Not just to hear ourselves speak, but notice. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Notice what we're to do. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And doctrine. Folks, when we preach the Word of God, we're to preach in such a way that whenever the people in our congregation, that God gives us the Word to preach, and it's rebuking, we're to preach it without compromise. We're to preach it to exhort, to encourage those around us that are down and out as well. I want you to look at a few places with me. Notice with me in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20. We'll start in verse 17. The Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, beloved, notice here it's talking about the elders. Who's this talking about? This isn't talking about necessarily those that are older in the congregation. And I want you to understand, we are to give honor to those in our congregation that's up in years because they have experience. They've been serving the Lord, and we are to give them honor in a sense. But beloved, this is God's man that's talking about the pastor. And notice this. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And I'll say this, folks. Your first missionary is your pastor. You take care of him. He's the one that you call when you're sick. He's the one that you call whenever you got family that's dying. If you can't take care of your pastor properly, then you shouldn't be taking on missionaries. That's my opinion. Amen. But notice this. Be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The pastor's a labor. Laboring gives me the idea of someone that's digging, that's working constantly. Notice what they're to labor in. They're to labor in the word and doctrine. They're not just to read the Word of God, but they're also to read the Word of God in such a way that they can dig the doctrines of the Word of God so that they can teach. You can't teach and preach if you don't study and labor and the word of God. Verse 18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now notice, verse 19, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now you notice here, folks, we're still talking about the elders that rule well. We're still talking about those that are worthy of double honor. And notice what it says here, against an elder, a pastor, a preacher, the man of God, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Why is that? Well, folks, that keeps down gossip. That keeps down speculation. That keeps down what a lot of people do in our Baptist churches and circles. Now notice, again, talking about the pastor. Now he's talking about the pastor in verse 17. Let him be accounted worthy of double honor. But notice verse 17. I believe he's still talking about a pastor. And notice what he says. Against an elder, talking about the pastors, receive not an accusation but before two or three witnesses. Folks, that's simply talking to pastors. Don't gossip about other pastors unless you got proof. Don't gossip against missionaries unless you got proof. Amen. Beloved, there's something I've seen in the last few years, to be honest with you, it makes me sick. You know, and I'm not here to straighten anyone out, because God knows I've got enough to be straightened out myself. But beloved, what's happened in our Baptist churches? We've got churches that are bickering. And I talk about within our churches. Talk about the congregations we pastor. They bicker among themselves. Always fighting. Always doing something in a way that's displeasing to God. Always division. Brother Sean preached this day on the mind of Christ. And if we had the mind of Christ, there wouldn't be any division. But beloved, I want you to understand this. Where do you think our congregations learn that? They learn it from the pastor. They learn it from the man of God. They see him every time they get a juicy tidbit. And folks, I'm not talking about things that are true. Understand that. But they get a juicy tidbit about this preacher or this missionary, and they go running with it when they don't have proof. Amen. Whenever all they have is just speculation. Won't you notice here, folks, an elder that's ruling well is a man that won't accept an accusation against another elder except in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. And then notice, verse 20. Them that sin, rebuke before all. I've heard Brother Wayne quote this scripture before, and I know it's in the book of Proverbs. I can't remember exactly where it is. But it says that open rebuke is better than secret love. You know, folks, I can tell you this. My daddy loved me. You know how I know he loved me? He corrected me when I needed it. Amen. He corrected me whenever I would be disobedient to him. And beloved, a church ought to love their pastor. Whenever he stands up and he knows that there's sin in their life and he knows that there's things going on and they're walking away from God. And he looks at them and says, you need to repent. You need to make it right before God. And notice this. Them that sin, rebuke before all. Why do you think that is? Well, folks, many times people that sin, they do it before all. Amen. If they sin publicly, they need to be rebuked publicly. Then the Bible also says that others also may fear. You know one of the reasons our churches don't fear? It's because we don't have any rebuking going on in our pulpits. And the reason being is many times, and folks, I'm talking about me, it's because there's sin in my life. You know, folks, we as pastors have a great burden and a great calling before God, and I know you all know that better than I do. But folks, God has made some things very clear to me recently. You know, as a young man, whenever you're first called to preach and you're first pastoring and so on, you don't understand fully what's going on, what the calling is on your life. But the more you see and the more you preach and the more you see things going on around you, the more you realize the seriousness of this. But folks, the pastor is to rebuke. He's to preach. But also, folks, he's to exhort. Thank God for exhorting. Thank God for encouraging. You know, folks, I'm afraid sometimes we go to extremes as God's men. We get to a place where on one hand, we're all the time on the negative. We're all the time telling people what they shouldn't be doing. But yet, we tell them what they shouldn't be doing, but we never tell them what they should be doing either. Look with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now notice this, folks. Every bit of the scripture in this Bible is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed by God. It's placed there by God. And notice this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's worth something. This book's worth a lot more than all the gold in Fort Knox. This book is worth a lot more than John Gill's commentaries. This book is profitable to help us live and to glorify God. Goes on to say it's profitable or it's worth or valuable for doctrine. This is the reason that it was said by Brother Bill Titus yesterday that Baptists have been known as people of the book. Because every doctrine we get, we go into the Word of God and we dig it out and we preach it because we believe that according to the Scriptures, that's what it teaches. Such as election, church truth, all those great truths. If we can't go to the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord, then it's not Baptist. Then we also notice, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Whenever we need corrected, when we need taken behind the woodshed by God, how does He do it? He does it by showing us in His book. He corrects us according to the Word of God. Then notice this, and if we want to live right, and what I mean by living right, I'm not just talking about showing up to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm talking about living right. Amen. Talking right. Dressing right. Amen. Doing those things that are pleasing to God. Amen. Right. Then, folks, we got to go to the book. Amen. You know, I have no confidence in someone. And of course, I know this doesn't matter to you, but this is my opinion. And I'll state that. I have no confidence in anyone that is constantly, they'll tell me to do something as a preacher, but can't give me any book for it. Everything we get, we need to have, thus saith the Lord. Amen. We know that the Bible teaches that we're to dress modestly. The Bible says very clearly, and I can't remember who said it yesterday, but in Deuteronomy chapter 22, talks about a man not wearing that which pertaineth to a woman. And a woman not wearing that which pertaineth to a man. You know, and I can't remember who said this, but I used this on a fellow one time. I said, if I come to your house in a dress, what would you do? I said, you'd drop me, wouldn't you? He said, yeah, sure would. I said, you wouldn't support me anymore. You wouldn't let me preach. You'd go into your pulpit and tell the church that Brother Troy's went crazy. I said, well, absolutely. I said, well, what about the women running around in men's pants?
Uh-oh.
Let's not have a double standard. I'll get off that. But folks, I want you to understand. Modesty is more than just being covered. And I'll say this too. It's not just the women either. You know, and folks, I understand this, and a lot of times we as men, we get up and we're always talking about the women. Folks, it's just as many times the men. Men need to go out modestly apparelled. They need to be covered up. No one wants to see my hairy legs. Folks, I'm telling you. We talk about the ladies and their short skirts. Well, what about men and their short breeches? And I want you to understand this. I'm talking about in relation to the uncovering of the thigh. It's an abomination to God. The uncovering of the thigh is nakedness. But folks, we've dropped our standards because we don't know the book. We need standards in our churches. And folks, if we're going to have standards in our churches, it's got to start in the home first. Then we notice. Verse 3 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Of course, verse 2 said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now, folks, we didn't talk about exhort much, but I want you to understand this. Exhorting is more than just encouraging. Exhorting is also telling the people that whenever they have done it, how to correct it and how to serve God properly after that. I said this while ago and about filling the trap myself. But, folks, we don't just need to tell people what not to do, but we need to tell them how to do right. Amen. How to serve God. How to be pleasing unto Him. How to glorify His name. Now notice also. You're also to teach and to preach doctrine. Doctrine. What do we mean by doctrine? Do we mean the catechism by Spurgeon? Absolutely not. Even though there's some good things in there. Are we talking about John Gill and his works? Absolutely not. Are we even talking about C.D. Cole, H.B. Taylor? Folks, I appreciate those men, but they're men. I don't need to be quoting men. I need to be quoting Scripture. Man. If I'm bringing a doctrine up to someone, I need to be saying, hey, this is what the book teaches. Amen. But we need to be preaching and teaching the doctrines, now notice, of God's Word, not of men. Verse 3. These are some of the reasons we're to preach and teach doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. How's our churches going to know if we're preaching the truth? Because they find out what we're preaching from. Now notice, for the time will come. That time's today. You look around. How many supposed Baptists down through the years, even people that was members here, are no longer sitting under the preaching and the teaching of God's Word because they went down to Dr. Tickle My Ears so they could hear what they wanted to hear. For the time will come when they will not endure. Folks, sometimes hearing the preaching and the teaching of God's Word is enduring. It's not always pleasurable. It's not always easy. I can remember the Lord called me to preach under Brother Andy Sexton's ministry. And Brother Andy had preached on things in my life that was hard for me to hear. But yet at the same time, I knew it was God's Word, and I knew it was God's will, and I knew I had a responsibility to follow it. Then we called another pastor, Brother Sean Berry's dad, Don Berry. And there was things going on in my life as a young preacher that no one else knew about. But yet there he was preaching on it. And yet here I was hearing the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Not liking it, mind you, but enduring it. One of the marks of someone that loves the Lord and the truth of God's word is they endure the sound teaching of the word of God, even when they don't like it. And that's the mark of a false professor, of a heretic, of those that'll depart the faith, is those that can't endure sound teaching of the word of God. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, folks, I also want you to realize one last thing. When we preach, we also preach to expose false professors. Look with me in Jude. I was telling Tara a while ago while Brother Adams was preaching, I said, man, he's preaching my message. I ain't going to have anything to say. But we appreciate that a while ago. Amen. Book of Jude. Jude, starting in verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things that corrupt themselves. Verses 11 through 16. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon them, upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You want to know how you expose these kind of people here? You expose them by preaching the word of God.
Amen.
I've seen people that I thought were godly, that loved the Lord, that wanted to serve Him. And you get up and you preach and you don't have no idea what's going on in their life.
That's right.
And you preach the word of God. And then they come at you with claws buried ready to rip your eyes out.
Yeah.
You know why? Folks, I had no idea. But it's because of the preaching of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, I want to tell you, we need the preaching of God's word today.
Amen.
And this day in which we live, and this day in which people are falling by the wayside, and this day when preachers are falling by the wayside, and this day when churches are dying, we need the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
And I want to say this as well. We need preaching of the gospel to lost sinners.
Amen.
Folks, and I tell you what, this week the Lord has, and Brother Keller don't know this, But the Lord has used him to show me some things lacking in my life. You know, many times I go to a place, I have a tract on me. You know, you get so carried away and so on. You get thinking, I got to be here at a certain time. I got to do this at a certain time. You'll go in, you'll drop a tract off, say, God bless you, have a good day, read it. Brother Keller this week, the Lord used him to show me something. Every time we stopped somewhere, not only would he have a tract, but he'd have about 5 minutes. And he'd tell them about the Lord. Read with me in Romans chapter 10. No, we talk about the sovereignty of God, and I believe that. We talk about election and predestination. Praise the Lord for that. For without it, no one would be saved. But look here in Romans chapter 10. The Bible says, starting in verse 14. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Notice verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Beloved, one of the greatest needs of our day is simply this: preaching the gospel. Amen. Going out to a lost and dying world and to everyone that we come into contact with. Not just wondering or thinking themselves, well, they're the elect, but they're not. Bible says unto all the creatures, unto every creature, amen, preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And I'll close with this. Spurgeon made the remark one time, he said, if all the elect of God had a yellow stripe down their back, I wouldn't have to go around preaching the gospel. All I'd have to do is go around lifting up shirt tails. Beloved, the elect of God don't have a mark on their forehead that says E for elect.
That's right.
Doesn't have a yellow stripe down their back saying, I'm the elect of God. But, beloved, we do have a responsibility to go to each and every person we come into contact with, and I know none of us do it perfectly, and to tell them of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came and He died for the sins of His people. Lord bless.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.